So it's very, very important now that if we can't do Dharma 100%, that we need to add it to our lives 10, 20, 30, 40%. And as we get older, as we learn more, we incorporate Dharma practice into our lives more and more and more. And I'm not talking about just chanting. I'm not just talking about recitation, going for initiations and doing the soul, and knowing pujas and being able to recite the text eloquently. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about Dharma practice where your mind transforms and doesn't revert back to what it was. Very, very important. So altruism. So when we can do that, we are preparing ourselves. Then on top of that, in order to facilitate our Dharma practice, meditations and contemplations, facilitate our readings and understanding, to facilitate, we make offerings. We do the preliminary practices, Vajrasattva to purify. We do prostrations. We do mandala offerings. I will go through these again with you guys again, because there's a lot of new people. And also to have a simple yidam at this point, without initiation. Our yidam can be Lama Tsongkhapa. What's more superior than that? Three bodhisattvas combined into one. To do a simple meditation on Lama Tsongkhapa every day. Example, Ramin Pachapan with Guru Yoga Lama Tsongkhapa. Fabulous. You don't need initiation, you don't need to take a lot of vows. You look at these Tantrika people here. They all sit there with beautiful tables and beautiful cloths. You know, they have nice cushions and they have flowers and they have mandalas and they look fancy smancy and they have all the little covers all over it. And then they sit there, they're meditative postures, and they roll their eyes, and you know, wow, look at them, they're tantra practitioners. We're like, well, I want to sit at that table too. It's not that easy to sit at that table. Why? You have to take a lot of vows. You have to take a lot of commitments, and you have to hold those commitments seriously. You have to have very strong guru devotion. You have to have some experience of not maintaining the three principal paths. And if you're going to sit at a table and hold a Vajra and bell, if you're going to sit at a table and want to practice tantra, no way back. If you want to do that, you have to start with a very simple practice, tolerance. Tolerance for people around you. Tolerance for your negative attitude. Tolerance for your failures. Tolerance for your laziness. But to have tolerance in a positive way, to recognize and to move on. And to hold your vows very well. And soul practice is not itself the practice of Dharma. Soul practice is only a supplementary practice that helps, but is very, very powerful. So what happens is when we do soul practice, the tunes that are sung, I don't think we'll do it all tonight because it's late. The tunes that are sung are ethereal. They were composed by great lamas, such as His Holiness the Panchen Lama, who actually has the ability to hear Dakinis. He has clear audience. He can hear Dakinis. He can hear how they chant and what pleases the Buddhas. And record those chants down and even pass on for many, many generations from guru to disciple and held very sacred. Why? With those very special chants, the one doing it, it transforms their own mind. You see the notes and the sounds inside of them. Those chanting actually transforms the person inside, temporarily brings peace, and also it moves the winds, the energies. It opens up your drops temporarily for the blessings to enter. And at the same time, when you do those kind of chanting, correct with words and meditations, when you do it correctly, it invites the mythical beings, which really do exist, from the 24 holy places. And they are according to the Kiruka Mandala. Of 24 holy places, when Mahadeva was subdued by Shakyamuni. Those 24 places are very powerful, power places on this planet. There are power places all over the world, all over. The 24 holy places where the great Dakas and Dakinis reside with their entourage. One each at each place. That are reported according to the Vajrabhini and Hiruka Mandala. And these Dakas and Dakinis, by oath, when we do soap, they immediately converge to the place. And when we have our meditation correctly, and we have our motivation correctly, and we have our samayas correct, they completely bless us. How do they bless us? Each time we do soap, our minds transform. We let go of anger, we let go of hatred, we let go of intolerance. We forgive, you'll see your mind transform and change. A blessing is what? A blessing is some healing comes about in you. And healing comes about in your physical body. Healing. You know, they don't have to be monks either when they go to a forest or whatever. They receive teachings and initiation from their teacher after training. And they actually go into meditation into the forest to focus, to go away from politics, go away from society, go away from norms, and go away from customs and whatever that society forces them to do. And not be distracted and beg for alms or be supported by a sponsor to have alms, and they go meditate in the forest. And so they don't have a lot, they don't have money. They don't have a nice house. They can't go to 7-Eleven and buy, you know, offerings. You know, they don't have a kitchen to cook. You know, they don't have a plantation to pluck the fruits. So these great tantric practitioners, in order to realize their goal, they need to collect a lot of merit. Merit on meditation alone is not enough, because not all meditation is that strong in the beginning. So these tantric practitioners must gain a lot of merit that supports their realization, so that when they go and meditate, when they go and meditate, they actually can gain experience and realization. Why? By habit, by knowledge, application. And supported by. So you're not just a dry knowledge holder. Supported by merits. Becomes very moist. They gain realization. So for these transit practitioners who don't have a lot of material resources to make offerings, talk is very powerful. Why? When you do tzok offerings, the practitioners, if they do it correctly, they themselves are not an ordinary being through tzok. Whether we can perceive or not, doesn't matter. They're not an ordinary being. They have become generated in the form of their deities. They can generate as Yamataka, as Kala Chakra, as Vajrayini, as Heroka, as Tevajra, whatever their idam is. And if they have, you know, many idams, then the main idam, they generate as that idam. So the whole place of tzok becomes a place, not a building, not a marble floor. So it becomes a divine mansion, created, a mandala palace, divinely created for the attainments of the idam. So every structure, every edifice, every entrance, every corner, everything within this divine mandala is the extension of the deity's mind. So it's a divine palace. Then everything they hear around them is not chitter-chatter, is not just gossip, is not more words that increase our desire and hatred and anger. It is actually the sound of pure mantras coming forth, and we hear pure mantras, so that whatever we hear doesn't affect us, doesn't bother us. And the mind themselves reside in divine pride. Not pride, divine pride, to benefit others. So that tantric practitioners themselves actually manifest as a tantric deity within. And with the power of being a tantric deity, whether it's actual or just imagined in the beginning, is fine. Then they do offerings. When they do offerings, they consecrate the offerings. When they consecrate the offerings become padameva. Doesn't mean just one or two apples. Whatever offerings you see is not just there. It is increased to fill the universe. And so when it's increased to fill the universe, the tantric practitioners visualize this offering, visualized and real, blessed by their mantra, by their samadhi, and by their mudra. Blessed by samadhi, mantra, and mudra. Empowered by their guru devotion, and made firm by the realization of the three principal paths. Then it is a tantric practice. Then it is a tantric offering. And for that type of person, even if they're wandering in a forest, or they're living in a cave, and someone offers them one small bowl of rice gruel, rice porridge, salt, even one small bowl, or even they get one offered one banana, that's all they have. If they do a tzok offering, to you it looks like one banana. To you it looks like one bowl of rice or a porridge. But actually, to the tantric practitioner, it's been blessed and purified to increase filling the universe. And therefore, when they make that kind of offerings to the Buddha, it is much, much more powerful, much faster, and easier to gain more merits than normal offerings, as stated in sutra. So, you're saying, well, why is that so unfair? The difference between sutra and tantric offerings is the attitude of the practitioner. The attitude, the visualization, their commitments. So, when they do a tantric offering, it is very, very blessed, because the offerings are increased. So this person who's actually in a cave doing offerings with just one banana, or stupid me, hanging out at home, offering hundreds of water bowls to the Buddha every single day, Their banana will be more merit than my hundreds of silver water bowls. Why is that? Because they are transformed by mantra, mudra, and siddhi. And they are motivated by bodhicitta. Whereas I'm at home making silver offerings, as you all know, that I may become rich, that in my next life, I will always be born with a lot of hair, unlike some people. I'm not looking at you, Mr. Mao, relax. That in my next life, I'll have a fabulous body, flawless skin like Henry, that I'll be tall and magnificent and fabulous. Okay, here nobody laughs. And rude, isn't it? And that Siddhi temple, that I have magnificence, that I have great intelligence and wisdom, so that they don't call me, angel. Oh, sorry, dumb blonde. And that I'll have lots of money. I want to be born in money. I want to be born not really in money, just lots of money. And I never have to diet and I stay skinny all the time. And then I have great parents, they love me, they let me do anything. They give me a house in Monaco, they give me a house in Tokyo, they give me two houses in Hong Kong, one house in Penang because I like the hills up there. Let me see where else. Maybe a house in New York so I can have fun. And everything. And there are people out there that have that. They are. And so when I make these offerings, I make that kind of prayer and I make that kind of wish, because you're making it to the Buddha, it will come true. That will happen. That is possible. But once that happens, once you experience it, it's over. And once you get it, what you do with it doesn't mean you do something good. You see, some people get wealth and power and position, they become worse people. They abuse it and they create even more negative karma. Having those things doesn't necessarily mean it's a result of good wishes and good karma. It's not a result of karma. I'm sorry, it's a result of karma, not merit. Different. So what happens is, when you have these wonderful things, then every single person in the world who has everything, who's beautiful and fabulous and they have a great body and they're rich and they have fame, they should be very happy. They should be extremely happy, and their happiness is unending. If they were so happy, we wouldn't have all these trashy, horrible little magazines writing about their unhappiness. That they're getting divorced for the seventh time and they're getting married for the eighth time. That they're getting a sex change. Or that, they lost $60 million. Or, you always hear about something. So they wouldn't be unhappy. There would be no unhappy rich person in the world. That's not true. But that's the same for poor people. There's no unhappy poor people. There is no... That's not the basis for happiness and unhappiness. That's not the basis. So, when we make soap offerings, and our motivation is correct, especially our motivation, and even if we're not realized and we do the ritual according to the way our Lama has empowered us, has so kindly empowered us, even if we're not attained and we believe and we just do it to the best of our ability, it becomes Father Mecca, becomes something that is totally, it fills the universe with this offering. And when we do this offering every twice a month is so, the 10th and 25th, the 10th is Vajrayani Day, every month, the 25th is Hiruka Day. Every month. And these are the days of dakinis are hanging around, waiting to get on the cloud to come and bless you. So when you do the rituals, when you do the prayers, and you invite them, they come. They come and they bless you, and they come and they attack you, and they touch you, and they do everything. Wonderful, very powerful. So, when tantra practitioners make offerings, it brings great merit for the place, for the people. Even some of you who don't attend tantric practice or tantric teachings or whatever, it doesn't really matter. Let me tell you. So, everyone should donate $1 or $2, whatever you can afford. Donate to the center so they can buy offerings for you in it. Why? Every 2 weeks it will be done, it will be dedicated in a very, very powerful way. In that way, even if you offer $1 or $2, it's multiplied to hundreds of thousands of dollars. Whereas if you offer it the normal sutra way, that $1 when you offer is just $1. So tantra is very different. That's why tantra practitioners, they gain realizations very quick if they do the practices correctly, not simply that they got initiation. Why? The ability to collect merit, the ability to transform the mind, the techniques, the methods are much faster. Why is it much faster? Because Buddha Shakyamuni knows that during the Kali Yuga times, which is now degenerate times, for us to practice Dharma will be much harder than before. It is said in the Vinaya, one day now for us to hold the monk vows, the merit generated is equivalent to Buddha's time where we held the monk vows our whole life. Why? Due to time and degeneration. Time. These days you ask people you want to be a monk, before you can finish your sentence, they're gone. They're out of here. And if their parents find out that you made a little princess or prince, a monk or a nun, they're going to come get you. You're not a Rinchi anymore. They can come hang you. They come with nooses, guns, cannons. They can come get you. But you see, during Buddha's time or even before, if you say you can be a monk, everybody holds their hand. They want to be your sponsor. They want to offer robes and food to you. They want to give you dana. They're very, very happy. Why? They know the virtues of it. Degeneration comes when you want to do... Degeneration is when you want to do virtuous work and the tide is against you. When you want to do virtuous work and the tide is for you, that is a meritorious time. So now to do dharma, to do any type of dharma, much more obstacle. Therefore, whatever you do has more power and significance. So when we're doing Tsoba offerings, for the tantric practitioner, the motivation is to become a fully enlightened Buddha as quick as possible. So when they make these great offerings, what they do is during these offerings, they rejuvenate their vows. They remember their vows for sentient beings that they've taken from their holy lamas. They take refuge for the sake of others. They generate themselves as a deity. They make offerings, body, speech, and mind, inner, outer, and secret offerings to the three jewels. And they dedicate that for sentient beings. And during the Tsoba offerings, they also make confessions of any downfalls so that this downfall doesn't affect their practice for the benefit of others. And when they do the practice, the three jewels all appear. All appear. And for those without initiation, sitting in a crowd, you're thinking, well, I'm not a tantric practitioner, what happens to me? No. The sun shines on all, whether you accept or not, whether you know or not. Like that, the Buddha's blessings shines on all. So even people who are able to sit with the tantric practice, long or short, never mind. Tomorrow you're a little bit tired, be tired. Be tired for a blessing. Be tired for good results. If tonight we dance the whole night, and we're tired tomorrow, that's a useless type of tired. In no benefit. But if tonight we're tired because we meditated, and we prayed, and we recited mantras, and we thought about the kindness of our parents, if we recited tonight, and we're a little tired late, never mind. One night, a little bit late, 1-2 hours, you go to bed, you're too tired, you know, your eyes cannot open, and you crawl into bed tomorrow, a little tired, never mind. I'll give you my picture tomorrow, you can punch my picture, no problem. I'll give you my picture. All can punch my picture, step on it, pee on it, whatever you like, doesn't bother me. I like it, it's a tension one. So, but tonight, tired or not, get the most out of it. How? During the ritual, the energy is there. The blessings are invoked. We have a great Rinpoche here from Ganden. For many lifetimes, he's been in Ganden. Kali Rinpoche, many, many lifetimes. We have a great Geshe here who studied for over 20 years and also finished his tantric degree in Yume Monastery. He did the whole course. You got a real life Geshe here. Pure in vows. So we have these Sangha, and that's part of the reason I invited all of you here. I don't have much blessings, but they do. So they're going to pray for you tonight. And their holy Sangha energy, whether you believe them to be a Geshe or a Rinpoche, forget it. But they are really practitioners because they live in Ganden. They devote themselves to the lamas. They're monks. So when they chant and they pray, whether the voice is pleasant or not pleasant, it doesn't really matter. The blessing is there. So I invited all of you to come because we have Sangha members here. And for all of you to be blessed by Sangha members. Blessed. Definitely blessed. I am ordained, but I'm showing myself as not ordained, so it'll be easier for me to accomplish my works here for the time being. I have my reasons. But these two are much more senior to me in their vows. So what happens is to be blessed by Sangha is wonderful, I believe that. It is true. And Irene worked very hard. Irene went to India and went up and down India to get the visas to bring them here. A lot of time and energy was spent. And the liaisons worked very hard to arrange for their place to stay, cleaning, food, and shopping, and the liaisons work with each other very, very hard. Very, very hard to make their stay very pleasant and nice. And a few very kind people donated to the monk fund so that I can invite these people here, these monks here. So it didn't come just from one cause or one situation. It came together. These are Ganden monks, real Ganden monks. And what happens is, then we have tantric practitioners here who have received correct initiation from a correct lama. And when we do it together, it's wonderful. Those of us who have received initiation but doesn't know how to do tsokya, never mind, you do your Yidam's mantra three times the normal times you usually do it. That will cover. Being in tsok will be good enough. So let's say that your Yidam is Vajrayogini, let's just say, and normally you do 21 mantras a day. Then on that day, you triple that, 63. You can do more. For those of us who don't have any special whatever like that, you know, what we can do is this, the people who are sitting nearby, don't waste it. Think about your parents and what you can do for them. Think about your beautiful wife. Think about your beautiful husband. Think about your beautiful children. Think about your people who've been kind to you. Think about them for the next few hours. Think. Don't close your mind off. For once, think about others and recite Lama Tsongkhapa's mantra. You can recite that throughout the tsok, which will be very powerful. Why? Not only are you sitting in meditation, you're also reciting and thinking. And those of us who don't know Mixama, never mind. Taro's mantra is wonderful. Buddha Shakyamuni's mantra is wonderful. And if you don't know any of that, Om Mani Padme Hum is wonderful. But those of us who have tantric initiation should do your Yidam's mantra quietly, quietly. Triple the amount you normally do. And if we miss tsok, that's what we should do. But we shouldn't miss tsok. We should not miss tsok. Tsok is very important. Very, very important practice. And if we make our priorities right, we won't miss it. And also, when we do this part, there are many tsoks. There's Yamataka tsok, Heruka tsok, many types of tsok, many types. But within our system, a tsok that covers everything. The tsok that covers everything is a Lama Chöpa. Lama Chöpa is Guru Puja, or making offerings to the Guru. Guru means what? The guy sitting in front of you in a white robe and screaming and shouting at you, telling you you're nasty. No, that's not what it's referring to actually. The Guru Tsok or the Guru Puja. Puja is purification. Purification. Guru is what? Guru represents every single enlightened being who can bring you to enlightenment. So the Guru Puja is making offerings to every single enlightened being. Chok Chu, 10 directions. Yusum, 3 times, past, present, and future. All enlightened beings who exist, past, present, and enlightened beings, even in the future, we make offerings of song, praise, confession, reciting the paths of Lord Buddha to remember, and also offering the actual offerings to the 3 jewels. And that is manifested as our Guru Lama Tsongkhapa, who completely reigns over the 3 jewels. So this type of practice, Lama Tsongkhapa, is very, very powerful. It is powerful for us to sponsor the practice, to make offerings of fruits or whatever, yogurt for the practice, and also to sponsor the place of the practice, to sponsor the ritual objects, to sponsor the mandalas, to sponsor the people, if they're monks or nuns or people who are doing practice, to sponsor this activity is very, very great. It creates causes for you to be able to practice in the future. And during tsok puja, whatever anger you have, whatever unhappiness you have, whatever doubt and jealousy or whatever you have, all of us do, to let go. And to leave today's puja released, let go, to be happy, and to make people around us happy. Even if it's not genuine happiness, but to create that atmosphere by starting somewhere. When we leave puja today, all the things that have been upsetting us, we've been holding on to, we want to get revenge for. And we're bitter about something. We've been holding on for a long time or a short time. We should let go. Because during the puja, when we let go, the dakinis can bless us even more. How can they bless us? Your doors open. Your psychic channels open. They're blocked. You open them by forgiving. By letting go. By realizing everybody makes mistakes, it's alright. And not seeking revenge. And not having a black face, or bad speech, or to hurt or damage, or be cold and cruel. But to open up, because this is a temple. This is a center. This is a holy place. It's holy because all of you are here to generate that mind. It's holy not because of the statues. No, not that. There are plenty of evil people like me who have statues. It doesn't make me holy. But this place becomes holy because we are gathered here to generate a kind heart, to forgive, to accept, to let go. How do we do that? Life is short. We all make mistakes, and things can change. Nothing is permanent. So if we work for the Dharma, if we engage in Dharma, we do practices, we do black tea, and we're very devoted to our Yidams and Dharma protectors. If we are, but we hold anger, and we hold on, and we don't let go, and we don't release, then our practice has very little benefit. And even having Buddha statues around us cannot maximize their benefit. So this place is holy because of all of you gathered together to do prayer. What kind of prayer? For a 4D lottery ticket. No. You're not allowed to pray for that for yourself in this temple. You're allowed to pray for that for me. So everybody prays, may Tenrinji win the 4D lottery, 8-digit. May he win. If you pray for yourself, it's bad karma, you go to hell. If you pray for me, it's good karma, you go to heaven. So you're not allowed to pray for yourself. And then you pray that Tenrinji has a long life, a fabulous body, and he never gets old, and he gets a lot of money, and he gets fabulous friends, and obedient students, and wonderful liaisons, and plenty of money, and more money. Did I miss anything? That's what you pray for. Selves, you pray, may I be humble, may I be renounced, may I not be attached, may I forgive and love, and may I talk to my friends again, may I let go. But for Tenrinji, you know what you're supposed to pray for. But if you leave the center, people ask you, don't tell them, that's our little secret. It's time for Tenrinji, we're not going to talk about love. So when people ask you what Tenrinji asks you to pray for, tell them that he prayed that he asked you to pray that his wonderful manifestations will manifest all over the world nonstop because he's a living Buddha. You just tell him that. Don't say I said so though, of course. Right, but inside we know the truth. The truth is, pray for him to get luck, beauty, 4D, money, friends, slaves, nice house, a lot of cars, and what else am I missing? I can stay skinny without exercise, thank you. And that I can, you know, not carry anything that's from Pasamalam, anything. Okay, so that's what you pray for yourself, you know what? Humility, humble, nice, and sweet, and everything. You know, that's what you're supposed to pray for. No, I'm just kidding. But what we should do now is for the few time we're together now, and the tantric people are doing prayers in their rituals. You can be just as effective if you generate that mind. I forgive, and I let go. And I'm not going to be bitter. And I know life is short. And I know people make mistakes. And I'm going to let go and I'm going to forgive. And you may say, well, what's the point? Because tomorrow I might get angry again. Yeah, but you see, if you do it one time, two times, three times, slowly it becomes a habit. If you never engage in it, how does it become a habit? It never becomes a habit. We have to engage in it. And for the tantric practitioners, they themselves must think, I take refuge from my heart. If you take refuge, you follow the 8 verses of thought transformation, like on the door there. And you hold your tantric vows. And you be tolerant of the people around you and kind. You be exemplary. And you respect elders. And you respect the law. And you try to generate your mind to be a tremendous benefit to others, tantric practitioners. And with that divine pride, we generate ourselves to Yidam. Just because you're a Yidam, you know, maybe some of you generate yourselves Kala Chakra, a lot of arms. Some of you generate Yamataka, you know, even more arms. Kala Chakra is 24. Yamataka, I don't know, maybe 100,000, whatever. All kinds of manifestations. 34 arms. And then, you know, some of the Yidams here are just 2 arms, so you slap the other Yidams, they move over, you're taking up space. You don't do that, don't be sneaky. Different Yidams don't slap each other, move each other over. You need to be very gentle. So just because you're Yamataka, you're on flames, you don't tell the person they say, move over. You're just da-da-da. All is the same. So for tantric practitioners to have that kind of focus and meditation, and whether you can ring the bell perfectly, do your ritual perfectly, you do the best you can in your heart. That's what Buddha cares about. And to regenerate your vows. Very important. Regenerate. How do you regenerate? With a shi. The 4 opponent powers. Regret, not to do it again. Purification, and vows and commitments, not to do it. Purification practices. We should do that as tantric practitioners, so-called. That's very important. and to set an example for others. Sanctified practitioners must set an example for others. Not set an example to the road to hell, but set an example to the road to inner peace and happiness. And people who are not doing the rituals, actually, never mind. Please sit, savor and enjoy the chanting. Savor and enjoy the words. Whether you understand or not, they're holy. They're holy. When we're young, people give us vitamin C. We don't know what it is. It still benefits our body. We don't have to understand something to benefit us. We don't. And to recite whatever mantras we know. If we're not Buddhists, whatever religion we are, we can chant, you know, Hail Mary. It doesn't really matter. If you're atheist, then you think about people that have hurt you and harmed you, that you perceive, and to let go and forgive, and not to return their harm, to generate that type of mind. So when we generate that type of mind together, it's fabulous. It's wonderful. Then the place is holy, and it blesses the whole area, the whole neighborhood. Even the dhatus around here, the small earth gods and deities are blessed. It's very, very powerful. So you should think like that. And remember, this particular tsok is extensive. It's done every 2 weeks in all the great monasteries. Whether it's the great Ganden Monastery, or Sarah Monastery, or Drepung. Drepung has over 3,000 monks. Sarah has over 3,000 monks currently. Ganden has over 2,500 monks. All the nuns, even His Holiness, personal monastery, Namgye Jasang, Gyutuk Gyume, Upper and Lower Tantric College, Lower and Upper Tantric Colleges, Dashi Lung, everywhere, every 2 weeks, this ceremony is performed and done to generate peace and happiness for everybody who are concerned. And to be there also plants the seed of us to receive initiation and practice it in the future. It's incredible. So don't think that, oh, it's just to get together to watch a show. No, there's not a bunch of dancing clowns from Tibet. So what we need to do, we should revere and feel very happy. And during the time, during this ritual, if we feel a little discomfort with our legs, we can stand up and stretch it quietly and don't talk and sit down again. We need to use the toilet we can. I mean, tantric ritual is not S&M, you know, you don't move, you gotta hold your pee, and you can't do anything, and you get slapped. I enjoy doing that for you, because I like to purify your karma, but... yeah, you can get up and go to the toilet and all that stuff, get a little thirsty drink, no problem. You know, you have to sit there in mental absorption at the third level, you not move your eyeballs like that. No, you don't have to do that. You don't. You relax and be comfortable. Recite your mantras and feel how lucky I am to be able to hear and to be blessed. And next talk, not everybody's allowed. It's going to be the usual crowd. This time, make an exception. And if those people really want to attend talk, why? Even attending talk for you present, let me tell you something. It purifies your negative karma. It purifies your obstacles. If you have spirits chasing you and disturbing you, it chases them away. It makes it stop their harm. Your body becomes clean. Your mind becomes fresh from thinking about compassion. Even for people who are able to sit and soak, it's very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. That's why you guys are very privileged. Why do I say that? Because I'm here now. That is a well-known blessing for the people. Blessing, well-known. So feel like that. Feel very happy. And our particular kind of soak is the most profound. And it encompasses all the three jewels, past, present, future, all the yidams, every one. And I will show you. I will show you. Let me see. Kunga and Jenny, open up the Lama Tripitaka. The left and right, yeah. This is a new tanka that just came from Nepal, and that represents all the Buddhas and Bodhisattvas and deities. I'll show you one. Just hold left and right, open it. Ah, that's good. See, this is very nice. The puja is for this. This is the puja. All the lamas, all the lineages, up there is Sukhavati heaven, Amitabha's pure land. On the left is Maitreya's heaven. Ganden Monastery is named upon this heaven. In its center, you have the lineages of Guhya Samaja, Yamataka, Vajradhara, Atisha, and Hiruka, all coming down, all the lamas of the lineage coming down and absorbing into Lama Tsongkhapa. And then on the left, you have all the Indian masters on top, who were before, and the Tibetan masters on the bottom. Then on the right, also Satan. All the lineage masters, everyone dissolved into Lama Tsongkhapa completely. This teaching I received from the great master in Los Angeles, Geshe Tsuren Gyaltsen, who went through an extensive teaching on the Guru Tree at that time. And then in the center, you see Lama Tsongkhapa holding a begging bowl. He's a monk, pure meditator. And with Buddha Shakyamuni in his heart. Within that is Buddha Vajradhara, complete. And then on that, on the top, you have the Yidams, all the high tantric Yidams. Yamataka Guhya Samaja, is a Kala Chakra, Vajradhini, etc. All the Kriya, Yoga, Charya Tantra deities. All the Bodhisattvas. All the Tongshap Buddhas. All the Sravakas, Pratikaya Buddhas, the solitary realizers. And then Dakas and Dakinis, who are highly enlightened. And all the Dharma protectors, who are fully enlightened. So when we do Guru Puja, the Guru Puja is not done to one Guru. It is done to the entire refuge tree. So our particular soap is all the Buddhas. So when you give $1 or $2 and we do puja here, it's Bada Mepa. It's multiplied to the 10 directions and offered to each guy. Because you know what? You buy one bao bread, you give to me, how am I going to share with all these guys? Look, all these fellas, they're quite hungry. How to offer one bao bread? Then you guys buy one Coca-Cola, you give here, I offer it so far. How are they going to drink? Tsongkhapa, the boss said, give me the Coke. The other guy's like, oh, what about me? How? So we have to multiply the Tsok into great amounts and offer to all the Buddhas. And every single Buddha, every 2 weeks, we make offerings of Tsok too. So offerings of food, objects, sight, sound, sensory offerings from our attachments, our body, speech, and mind, our generation of bodhicitta, an altruistic mind, regenerating our vows and offering our vows up, offering the merits we created up to dedicate for others. So when we do a Guru Puja, so this is what we're praying to every 2 weeks, all over. So, you know, it's not one little Buddha, it's all the Buddhas. It's not one Yidam, it's all the Yidams. So none of you can come out and say to me, well, my Yidam's not up there. Definitely it's up there. Definitely. There's no other Buddhas that exist beyond this. This is recorded. Crystal told me. She told me she had a dream that no more Buddhas. So we're going to have to believe her, because if you don't, she's going to... You go talk to her later. You'll believe her. Or you get this. Alright? So what happens is, this is it. This is the Guru Puja we do every 2 weeks. So, Ganden Sera Drepung, Dashi Lumpo, Yutu Gyume, all. So when we make offerings, it's wow. Think about that, how fantastic. So when they do tantric rituals, they're praying to this. There's no puja more superior to this in general. That's right, the great monastic universities, the great masters do this all the time. So this is what we're doing too, and I just let you guys know. Alright, so what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to have Jenny come around. No, I'm going to have Kunga come around. This will be rolled up with a kata, except the monks, not the monks. Everybody, just hold your hands respectfully. He'll come and tap you on the head lightly to get the blessings of all the Buddhas. That's one. Second thing is, Jenny will come around with this stupa. This stupa contains the cloth of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. His Holiness Trigyanrum, she's close. Awesome. The beard and the mustache of His Holiness Geshe Sonrenchi. Mantras written, Vajrayana's mantra written by Geshe Sonrenchi. Pabongka Rinchi's clothes, Pabongka Rinchi's body. Many, many holy items, the chakras made by these great lamas. And they're all in here, and this is very blessed, not the monks. They'll come around, and they'll place it, and not Anila. Anila, you just put her hand, touch like that, no put on the head. And then this one will be placed on your head gently, and when you receive the blessing, just fold your hands and think, may I forgive my people who have hurt me. May I be a benefit to others. May I generate altruism. May I do that. For one time, don't pray money. For one time, don't pray beautiful girlfriend. For one time, don't pray your wife gets skinny. For one time, don't pray your husband get lost, you get a new one. For one time. Just one time. This one time, pray what? I may forgive people who have harmed me. And when I leave, I will bring happiness to others. and it will be a tremendous benefit to us. Think like that when it's placed on your head. You don't have to hold them just very quickly, think, no problem. Some people just don't move. The brain, no need. But we do that when we're here until tomorrow morning waiting for you to generate your altruism. And I won't be too altruistic if I stay here the whole night with you guys. Alright, so we'll come around and do that. And then this is Tara, which is highly consecrated and highly blessed with many, many holy items in there. Tara is the Buddha of long life. Sinta Chakra Tara Devi, wisdom, merits, to purify our diseases, to purify inner and outer diseases. She's wonderful, to clear away negative dreams. So also, what we'll get is this, David will come around with a kata and place this gently on your head and just hold your hands and think, may I bring long life, happiness, wealth, and merit to everybody who I encounter. All right, not the monks and not Anila. Anila, just the hand. And that's good. You do from the bottom. No. Bring one kata here for the tanka. Today, instead of doing a long, long ritual and sing, song, and all that stuff, I thought I'll give you guys a Dharma talk of what Tsok is, a short one, a very light one. Also an explanation of what it's about, so that you can get some benefit. You can get some benefit. Okay, in a few minutes we'll start the talk, which is not very long because I'll speed it up tonight, but there are certain places where we'll chant it out for the blessing of everybody. Again, doing the talk ritual, do your best to generate the states that I've mentioned just now. Most important, forgive, accept, tolerate, and care. And never hold on to the past and never hold on to what happened. Think about the future. If we are not tolerant and compassionate and let go now, we will also be like that next week, and it will be stronger next month and next year. So next year, the chances of us being more harder, more angersome, and more unhappy is going to increase because we create causes by doing that now. If last time, if right now we feel like that, it's because we've been doing that for a long time. So now is the time to let go. Now is the time to release. Now is the time, during blessings and puja, to ask the Buddhas to bless your mind that you can do this. But the Buddhas can't do it for you. You need to do it. Today I spent more time doing explanation, small explanations, rather than doing the puja. Why? Explanation for you is puja. Doing lengthy, because of chantings and singings, all that doesn't benefit you much if you don't understand and you generate a negative mind, maybe you're bored. But if it's short and you understand the meaning somewhat and you can open your mind, then it's much more blessed. So in Malaysia, it's very important because people here are very educated and people here are very, very advanced and very, very knowledgeable. So here when we teach Dharma to people, we don't teach them like we teach peasants. Some places in Tibet we need to explain. Some places we just teach very fast, just to tell them what to do. So I don't believe in the type of Dharma that just tells you what to do, just tells you to chant, just tells you to pray. This is the temple, donate, whatever. I don't like that. What I like to do is for the people here, because you have education, because you're very advanced and smart, cosmopolitan, I can give you explanations. So that when you leave this place, Kachara House, you will have some more knowledge and more understanding. So whether you join Kachara House as a member to study the Dharma, to pray for the benefit of others, is up to you. Wherever you go or wherever you don't choose to go, whether you choose to practice or choose Buddhism or not, it doesn't matter. But at least after tonight, you have gained some knowledge and some understanding that will benefit you tremendously. So that's what I That is my purpose of having a Dharma center here, is to give knowledge, to teach acceptance and tolerance, to bring the family together, and to respect the laws of the land, and to make people good citizens by knowledge. And on top of that, to develop bodhicitta, shunyata, to engage in higher practices, and to become someone that is of benefit to others. That's the purpose of our center, no other purpose. And we have special traditions and empowerments and blessings and practices that are very special to Gandhi Monastery. Very special. In particular, to His Holiness Khechu Sonrenji, His Holiness Khechu Chulian Dorjechang, His Holiness Khechu Pobongpo Dorjechang, His Holiness Khechu Dapun Dorjechang, all these great masters, the lineage. And on top of that, combine with the holy essential teachings of His Holiness the Dalai Lama. Why? Because the Dalai Lama are their disciples. That's His gurus and His lineage gurus also. So that's what we plan to do in this center. And we respect everyone else. And we love everybody else. And we totally support everybody else. But we do our own practice well. And that would be very good. So during the Tok Puja, again, let me remind you, please recite the mantras and let your heart open. Forgive. Let bitterness go away. Let things that have happened in the past that are not good, let go and move on. I'll tell you why. Because if you do that now, you'll feel different next week, next month, next year. And you'll get the result of your mind generation tonight. Then combine that with mantra. Alright?